A story is told of a preacher who got up in front of her congregation one Sunday morning and began her sermon like this. Well, I've got some good news and I've got some bad news. The good news is that we have enough money to fund our building project. The bad news is that the money is still in your pockets. I get a clap from the stewardship committee down here. Well, good news and bad news jokes have been around for quite some time. They make us laugh because the news, whether it is touted as good or bad, tends to be surprising. The jokes work because the punchlines are unexpected, and the element of surprise catches us off guard. I read several of these jokes this week in preparation for the sermon, and I came across one that I think might be my all-time favorite. It was said by Bob Hope, so some of you might remember it. The good news, he said, is that Jesus is coming back. The bad news is that he's ticked. Now, he used a little bit more colorful language than that. But it's an unexpected line that catches us off guard. Surely we believe that Jesus is coming back. But I know I always picture a smiling, happy Jesus coming to pick up the faithful. I don't imagine him coming angrily from the clouds. So the punchline is funny because it invites us to look at the world with new eyes. Like well-written poetry, these good news, bad news jokes can point to the truth and make us see things in a new light. They open up our hearts and minds and invite us to look at things through a different angle. So as Jesus began his ministry, he came back to the synagogue in his hometown, the place where he had celebrated all of life's milestones, the place where he learned all about the law and the prophets, the place where he first stood to read from the Torah, the place where he was known and loved. It was a Sabbath day like any other, and as Jesus stands to read, he is handed the scroll containing the words from the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now some have claimed that Jesus' words here were his inaugural address. For the first time, Jesus is announcing the start of his ministry. He has just returned from the temptation in the wilderness, and he's laying out his plan for the next 3 years of ministry. In just a few short words, Jesus explains the whole gospel, the whole arc of his coming ministry. And by all accounts, Jesus' ministry looks to be good news. It's good news for the poor, the captive, the blind, the oppressed. It's good news for those who are looked down upon, those who are unpopular. It's good news for those without power or riches, for those on the outside looking in. But as one theologian points out, the news isn't only good. He writes, "What is striking, if you listen closely, is that this good news is only good if you are willing to admit what is hard in your life, what is lacking, what has been most difficult. It is not good news in general, but rather good news for the poor. It is not just release, but release to those who are captive, sight to those who are blind, freedom to those who are oppressed. Do you see what I mean? God offers words of comfort, but such words only mean something to those living with discomfort." So I've got some good news and I've got some bad news, Jesus says. The good news is that I've come to preach and teach, to heal and set free. The bad news? Well, the bad news is that you who have ears to hear are the captives. You are the poor. You are the broken. You are the ones that I have come to set free. How often do we set ourselves outside of this grace of God? How often do we think that salvation comes only for those who are poorer, weaker, or more enslaved than we are? How often do we hear this good news of the gospel without realizing that we are the ones Jesus is talking about? Because it's certainly more comfortable to imagine ourselves as those who don't need grace. It's easier to think we can do it on our own and that we don't need anyone's help. We don't like the bad news that we are held captive by our addictions and our worries and our finances, that we are poor in spirit, in faith, in hope, in love, that we are enslaved by things out of our control. We don't like the bad news. But the bad news is needed in order for there to be good news. And the good news is so very, very good. The good news is for us. For us living an incredibly complicated life. For us who go through the good and the bad days. The days of celebration as well as the days of sorrow. For those of us who mess up, hurt one another, fall down, break down. For those of us who are inhibited or held back or unsure of ourselves. For those of us who are riddled with anxiety and pain and fear. For those of us just trying to make it through another day. This news is good news, and it's good news for us. But while it is good news for us, it's not for us just to hoard or to hold on to. It's not for us to keep a secret. It's for us to share, to spread God's love and grace, to remind our friends and our neighbors that it's good news for them too. As Jesus stood in the synagogue that day, hinting at what his next 3 years would look like, he also set a vision for us to follow. As Christ's beloved disciples who have been redeemed and set free by love, we are called to serve as his hands and feet and heart and voice, his eyes and ears, the whole body. In Christ, the words of the prophet Isaiah have been fulfilled. And because of that, we too may be fulfilled in Christ. May we find peace and freedom as we practice Christ's ways. May we find love and humility as we seek Christ. And may we have just enough courage to acknowledge the bad news in our lives, but just enough audacity to be filled with the good news of Jesus Christ, because it is good news for us all. Amen.